Have you been using Mint to manage your finances? First, you probably know the bad news. Mint has shut down. But here's the good news. There is a better alternative. Monarch Money. That's right. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. I have been using Monarch Money for over a year now, and it makes my weekly money dates so much easier and a lot less stressful. I tried all of the other personal finance apps, but they just didn't work for me. I love Monarch because I can see exactly where my money is going and track my goals all at the same time. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, your investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Monarch has a tool that also lets you easily import your data from Mint so you can keep all of your tags and categories. And unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, very intuitive design makes it so easy to set up, customize, and use. And one of the features I love most is Monarch has built-in features to collaborate with your partner, your family, or your financial advisor. You can invite them to your account at no extra cost. They get their own login, and you can have a joint view of your finances. Monarch is also the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard, toggle between light and dark mode, create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up automatic rules for transactions. You can go to town with Monarch. Plus, they have ad-free privacy you can trust. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of the show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. In this Ask Shauna episode, I'm covering some of my favorite tips to save money, inspired by a listener question from Brett. Welcome to Everyone's Talking Money podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Game. There's no judgment, no dumb questions, just smart conversations about you and your money. So come on in and grab a seat. Everyone is welcome here. Hey, happy Friday, or really any day you are checking out this episode. It's so good to have you with us on another Ask Shauna episode where I answer a question that you have in a raw, relatively unedited, and definitely unscripted way. This is such a fun time for me to answer your Ask Shauna questions. And this question today comes from Brett, and he says, "Hi, Shauna. Thanks for taking time to answer my question. I've listened to the show since 2016, and even though you've changed it up a bit over the years, it's still one of my favorites. There are a lot of dude money podcasts, but I really like a softer approach and one that feels very non-judgmental, so thank you for that. I'm in my late 30s and doing pretty well financially, but I always seem to end the month without being able to save a lot of money. Am I doing something wrong? Can you give me any ideas of how much I should save and any tips and tricks you have to save money every month? Thanks a ton." Brett, thank you so much for your question. And yeah, there are a lot of dude money podcasts out there, and I do offer a softer, non-judgmental approach. Some people like it. Some people don't. Some people would rather be yelled at about their money and how they spend their money. some people wouldn't. So if you're listening to this podcast, and if you've listened to me for a while, I'm hoping that something about the softer approach that's non-judgmental is something that, I don't know, feels pretty good to you. It feels good to me. I only talk about money the way I would want somebody to talk about money to me. It's funny, when I used to work with people one-on-one, inevitably, every time, it didn't matter the age of the person, the demographic, where they were located, the first question, not even a question, I would say the first statement that people would say to me was, I'm really nervous to talk to you about my money or to show you my numbers because I'm afraid you're going to judge me, or you're going to critique me, or you're going to yell at me, or you're going to tell me that I can't spend a certain amount of money at Amazon every month or whatever it might be. And I was always laugh, of course, because that is the complete opposite of what I was going to do. And it is my approach with this podcast, and it is my approach of talking about money and really blending this emotional side, kind of the heart, the feelings, the emotions around money, with the head, with the practical, actionable side of money, because this is what I feel has been missing in how we talk about money. And I think it's really important to blend those two things together, specifically around your question, Brett, and saving money. I think there's a lot of shame that just happens because you just internally feel like you're not saving enough money, or you feel like you're not saving as much as your friend or your brother or sister or a relative or some complete stranger that you see online talking about how much money they have saved already or how much is in their retirement account. First off, I will just say, let's just take a pause here and say that people can say anything they want on social media. It does not have to be fact. So when you're looking at somebody that is proposing to have this vast amount of money saved or in their retirement account, just kind of take that with a grain of salt, because I don't know, it doesn't really have any meaning in your life. It's their money, it's not your money, so it doesn't really matter what the number is. But B, it is absolutely not a reflection of your self-worth or of where you are at your particular stage of life and your journey with your money. So I don't know, maybe you can give yourself a little bit of grace in that particular moment, because I know that even I get to a place sometimes where I start to feel nervous. My heart starts to beat faster and I start to think, oh, I'm not at this place that this person is at. That means I must be doing things wrong. And for me, I'm a perfectionist. I come from a sort of perfectionist upbringing. And so I can immediately go to that negative place. I can immediately go to, I'm not perfect, therefore I'm not worthy, I'm not doing it right, I'm a failure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know if that's resonating with you or resonating with anyone listening, but it's really easy for us to go to the disempowered place first. And so what I want to encourage you to do is to try and just go to the empowered place first. Be proud of where you're at. Be proud of the road bumps. Be proud of whatever amount of money you have in your savings account. Even if it's a couple of bucks, it's something. Let's just start there. Because if we start there and we start to reframe from that place, it's just going to be a lot easier. All right, so let's go back to your question, Brett. I want to flip this question on its side a bit, because I think it's really a question of how you're spending money versus saving money. So follow me here. I thoroughly believe in my heart, deep down in my soul, every fiber of my being, that budgeting doesn't work. It doesn't work. It was not set up for it to work. Why? Because it's only looking forward and it's only as accurate as the numbers that you're putting into it. So it is not an actual representation of what happened to you during the month. It is a somewhat fictitious version of what you think your money should look like and where you think your money should go. And most of us don't update our budget at all. There are a lot of people that do. So if you do, that's fantastic. That's amazing. You're doing all of the work. But I don't like budgeting. I like to talk about what I call a mindful money plan. So if you're interested in a little handholding on this, I'm going to release my course on F Your Relationship with Money, where we talk about the emotional side of money, what I call the inner work, and then we go to the outer work, which is creating this mindful money plan. So ditching your budget, throwing it away, it doesn't work. Let's create a mindful plan where we give your money direction and we help you save money through this process, because saving money is first an inner work issue, because money is more of a mind piece than it is a math piece. Overwhelmingly, we would not have so much stress, anxiety, fear, depression, everything around money if it wasn't primarily an emotion-based exercise process. And you don't know how to filter through those emotions and those thoughts. So it's easy to get just stuck on the math side of money and to feel like it isn't working. Things are not working for me. So always when we're looking at anything, budgeting, debt, saving, whatever it is, I want you to first go to the inner piece of it. Why does savings actually matter to you? Might seem like a silly question, but it's a really important one. What are you actually saving for? What is so powerful about saving for retirement? That feels, for a lot of you, way too far off. Like you're not connected to it. So how can you connect yourself to it? Well, maybe it's, I'm saving for retirement because I want to change the trajectory of my family. I want to be at a place where I don't have to worry about money when I turn, insert whatever age that is. And I want to be able to travel. I want to be able to explore the world. I want to be able to buy a house on a lake and live a really peaceful life the rest of the years of my life. And so me choosing today, me being mindful, intentional with my money choices today, and putting, I don't know, $20 in my retirement account, saving $20 towards my retirement, whatever that is me going, yeah, because that future version of me is going to be really freaking excited that I made that choice today. So when we're talking about saving money, I want you to do the inner work. Why does this matter? Why does saving money matter? You're not at the place you want to be saving money because you've done anything in particular wrong. You've just made choices that haven't allowed you to be able to save money. And it's just because it's the emotions around money are all messy. It's way easier for you to spend money when you don't feel good or you want to feel better. There's so many reasons why we spend money when we know that we ultimately want to save the money. It's not logical. So, you know, for me, when I get frustrated about work, like maybe things aren't going the way I want them to go, or maybe I got a rejection on something, my first impulse reaction is I want to go eat a really nice meal out and I want to feel good about myself. Like that is just my impulse. I want to go spend money. And it's not logical. Because there are really a lot of other places that money could go. And I love to cook. I don't really need to go eat out. Like it's not a life or death situation for me. I have plenty of amazing food at home. I love to cook. It's like a relaxing process for me, but it doesn't matter because that's instantly where my brain goes. So if I'm not careful, I'm going to continually make those choices over and over again that aren't mindful, that aren't intentional, that are going to go against my savings goals. So you see how this works. It is an inner process. So what does mindful mean? Well, mindful to me means being present in the moment, today, in this particular moment, being in control and choosing how you want to spend and save your money. So that's a switch. That is switching you from feeling out of control that you aren't able to save the amount of money you want to save to putting you in a place of being in control. You get to choose today. Let's just look at today. Let's look at this moment. Forget about the rest of the day. Just whatever time it is right now that you're listening to this episode, you have a choice right now of how you want to spend and save your money. It's powerful. It may seem really simple to you, but it is so powerful. If we spent as much time talking and working through our emotions around money as we do on the how-to and all the goals and all of that other stuff, I think we would all be just so much happier, and we would, I think, be a lot further along. But it's easy to want the shortcut. Just tell me how. Tell me how much to save. Tell me how to exactly how to pay off my debt. Tell me what I need to do to buy that house. But the frustration comes when, like Brett, what you're saying is, I make good money, so I don't understand what's happening. Well, it's the emotions. It's all of the thoughts and feelings that are coming into play, because the thoughts and feelings are going to drive the actions, patterns, and behaviors. So if we don't spend time thinking about what motivates me to spend money, what are my triggers? Like what gets me? I talked about mine, but what are yours? What sort of just gets you in the feeling of like, I just got to go spend money. I just got to go spend money. And that's not a bad thing. We just want to understand what the trigger is. So like maybe we can work through it 80% of the time, and 20% of the time, yeah, I'm going to just go out and I'm just going to go spend money on eating out because it's just going to make me feel better. So I'm okay with that. I'm not looking for perfection. I'm looking for some sort of balance. So that's what being mindful is when it comes to your savings, when it comes to your money. I believe you need a plan. Budgeting doesn't work. We need a plan. We need a system. We need a process. We need to work through these feelings, and then we need the actions. So let's marry the thoughts and feelings. Let's choose good in one of those, and then let's choose good actions, patterns, behaviors in today, being present, that are actually going to move us closer to, I don't know, whatever it is, whatever specific goal you have, Brett, for saving that amount of money. Life does not happen biweekly, so why should your payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin, it's an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you can access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Listen, the money you get from Earnin, it could do a lot of things. Maybe you spend it on a gift for someone special in your life, or in my case, an unexpected and very expensive trip to the vet for my pup Winnie, or maybe you use the money towards your upcoming rent payment. There are lots of ways the Earnin money could go to use. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability, security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin, T-A-L-K-I-N, money, under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin, money, under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
let's talk about the 50, 20, 30 budgeting tip, rule, suggestion, roadmap. I don't know what you want to call it. I've called it all sorts of different things. I don't know if you've heard of this, but this might be useful. So the way this works is 50, the first number, 50% of your take-home pay should go to your fixed expenses. So those are all the things that you absolutely have to pay every month. Your rent, your mortgage, your car payment, your car insurance, your minimum payment on your credit card bills, any student loans, any kind of loan that you have, the things that you absolutely have to pay. Then it says, okay, the next 20% of your take-home pay should go to your savings. And this includes any amount in your retirement savings, including your match. If your employer is offering you a match, that percentage could go into that 20% bucket. Then it says, okay, after those two things, 30% of your take-home pay then goes to all of the fun stuff that you like to do, eating out, shopping, concerts, whatever it might be, right? So this is like a rule of thumb, maybe that's a better word, rule of thumb of if you're looking for how do I break down my spending so that I feel like I'm spending it right in different categories. You could use that rule of thumb. Now, always grain of salt. If you're 55%, you know, fixed expenses, 5% savings, and I don't know, I didn't do my math. Let's just say, you know, 40% or 40, what are we at? 35%, I don't know, variable expenses. It doesn't mean anything. Again, it doesn't mean wrong, bad, you're not doing it right. It's just a guideline. And we're each going to have different circumstances that are going to alter those numbers. But what this is saying is you probably don't want something that looks like 50% of your take-home pay goes to your fixed expenses and 50% of your take-home pay goes to your variable expenses, because then we don't have any savings in there. So it's often hard to change our fixed expenses. They are pretty much fixed for a specific reason. Now, we can do things like maybe your student loan is not on the best plan possible. Maybe you could get a better plan. Maybe you could call your credit card company, see if you could get an interest rate reduction, whatever it might be. But a lot of those things are fixed. So the other percentage, the variable expenses, that is really where the secret sauce is. That is where we need to be intentional and be aware of what's going on, because we can usually find money there. That's what I call it. We can find money in your bank account without you having to make more money. We just have to know where that money is going and then maybe make some more mindful choices only if you have specific savings goals that you feel really passionate about. You absolutely don't have to make any changes at all, my friend, because it's your money. This is your spending. You get to make the rules and you can do this exactly how you want to. That is the beauty, I think, that nobody talks about when they talk about money. Yes, there are guidelines. Yes, you should be saving more money than inflation. Yes, you should be saving money for retirement, for the future. Yes. All of those things. But I don't know what your life looks like. I don't know what your future looks like. I don't know how you want to spend the rest of your life. So that's really freeing, because you get to decide that. And the even better part is you don't have to justify it to anybody. I'm going to say that with a whisper because I don't want anybody to hear that outside of you. You don't have to justify it to anybody. Other than the people that are maybe economically dependent on you, then yeah, they probably have a say, right? So I say you need to focus on saving what you can, but that is only going to come from your mindful money plan, where you incorporate all your savings goals on your plan. You need to have all of those goals. So if one of your goals is to save $50 a month for this lake cabin that Shauna wants to buy in the future, that needs to be on my mindful money plan, because I need to direct money in that direction. It's just not going to magically happen. So, Brett, we've got to create the atmosphere where it's possible for us to save money. So we've already talked about the inner work piece. Now we're talking about the outer work piece, the actual plan. So your money spending plan, it should tell the story of you. It should tell the story of what you value, what you care about, the causes, the organizations, the goals that you have, what matters to you. That's being mindful. That is mindfully directing your money towards what you actually care about. And those things can change all the time. They don't have to remain constant, but you need to be able to have this roadmap for your money.
Hi, I'm Karina Bemisdorfer, host of Morning Cup of Murder, your daily true crime podcast. Yes, you heard me right. Daily true crime. Every day, Morning Cup of Murder tells you a straightforward, short-form story about murder, true crime, cold cases, disappearances, serial killers, cults, and more. And I do that all in under 15 minutes. With over 3 years of stories and over 20 million downloads, the Morning Cup of Murder podcast has become a staple of so many people's daily routines. So why not add it to yours? Stream Morning Cup of Murder everywhere you listen to podcasts, and remember, stay safe.
Talking about money is hard. You know this already. All over the world, people are taught to never talk about money, politics, sex, or religion in polite company. On 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meeting from executive producers Chip and Joanna Gaines, host and financial conversationalist Carl Richards will remove money from that list by having frank, funny, and often difficult conversations about money, the kind we're all told not to have, with guests from all walks of life. In each episode, Carl will invite a new guest to answer the question, what does money mean to you? Their answers will reveal much more than their attitudes about money, spanning revelations about identity, community, faith, family, and the true meaning of wealth. Tune in to hear deep conversations about money and the meaning it holds in our lives. You can find 50 Fires on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Want to know the number one money question I'm asked? It's how to get started investing without being overwhelmed. So if you're asking yourself the same question, then you have to check out the Investing for Beginners podcast. The hosts, Dave and Andrew, they break down investment terms and strategies in a way you can finally understand. I love that they're making investing accessible, and they have an entire podcast dedicated to helping you invest better. Even if you're not ready to start investing, they explain the stock market and financial updates so you can really understand what is being said on the news. If you're ready to learn more about investing, I'd recommend you start with two of my favorite episodes. Listener Q&A, how do you start investing with $1,000, where they explain how you get started right away. And Back to Basics of Building Your Portfolio, where they explain how to build a portfolio from scratch. The Investing for Beginners podcast is a great way to start expanding your relationship with money. Find Investing for Beginners podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You know, the first place to save, I would say, is, yes, we're going to talk about retirement plan. If you're getting a match, if your employer offers a match, that's free money. You've probably heard me say this and many other money experts a million times over, but definitely save as much in your retirement plan to get the match. That is just kind of a no-brainer because it's basically doubling your contribution, and it's going to make that compound interest, that great compound interest that comes with time saving in your retirement plan, it's just going to make it bigger and bigger and bigger. So that's amazing if you have that. I have been self-employed since I was 19 out of college. I have never had this option. I've never had a retirement plan where an employer is offering a match. If I had that, I would be so much farther ahead than I am now. So please, for me and for all the other entrepreneurs, take your match and love it. And yes, you should have some money saved for emergencies. Again, you're going to figure out what's best for you. Rule of thumb is 3 to 6 months of expenses saved, but maybe that's not enough for you. Maybe that's too much for you. Start with something. Start with 1 month. Just start somewhere, just a little bit. But again, have this on your plan. Have money automatically deducted from your bank account flowing into that specific savings account. Then I want you to look at the things that you have to spend your money on, right? We talked about rent, mortgage. We can't change that. That's pretty much fixed. Car insurance. Oh, okay. We could shop around for that. We had a guest on the show last year, but I've mentioned it in a couple of episodes. She was from Zebra Insurance, and she talked about how everyone should shop their car insurance at least 2 times a year. That blew my mind. I never really even thought about car insurance, but you can save a lot of money by getting an equivalent or even better plan through somebody else, some other company. Student loans, right? Again, are you on the best plan? Credit cards, can we call? Can we get a lower interest rate? Or maybe we look at a personal loan. And I know there's a lot of people talk down on personal loans, but look, if you can get a personal loan that is a lower interest rate than your credit card and you can use that money to pay off your credit card, and then you have a fixed payment with your personal loan, and then you work on, I should say before that, right? Before you get the personal loan, we really want to do the inner work around credit card and credit card debt and set you up for success. Because what I don't want to happen is you get the personal loan, you pay off the credit card, and then you get the credit card balance back up. And then you're kind of in the same situation. So we want to figure out what is causing those credit cards to, for you to have to carry a balance. And can we fix that? Can we fix the piece, the emotional piece around money that triggers you to, like me, just want to go out and spend money? We all do it. We all have these impulse buys. So that's really important. Groceries, can you do meal planning? You know, we've had a lot of amazing sponsors on the show that offer meal kit boxes and kits and things like that. And, that can be an amazing way to sponsor on the show, Factor Meals. And I love them. I used Factor Meals for my lunch and it was like, I didn't even have to think about anything. And it cut down on my grocery bill quite a lot because I knew that these specific meals were coming. It was a fixed price every month. And I didn't have to just like endlessly kind of shop around for stuff to make to lunch. So it was amazing for me because I work from home. Cell phone. I just called my cell phone carrier just this week. And I was actually able to move on to a lower plan from last year. And get this. This is mind-blowing. This is one of the best I've ever done. We're going to save $75 a month on a family plan. That is over $600 a year. That's starting to be some real money. Just because I called and said, hey, are we really using our plan? Is there a better plan available to us? And they're like, oh yeah, there is a better plan. And you don't use a lot of your extra data. So why not move to this plan? I mean, sometimes I kick myself that I've not called sooner, but just a reminder to you to do that. Internet as well. Like, are you on the best plan for the best price? These companies are constantly updating these plans, constantly. And so there might be an opportunity for you to move to a better plan to AKA have the opportunity to save more money. So then we look at the extra stuff. Subscriptions is a big one. There's a lot of great companies out there that help you kind of uncover the subscriptions you have. And in that process, you usually end up finding some subscriptions that you didn't know you had. And you can cut those out or change them or do whatever you want with them. Eating out is always the place where we all spend a lot of money. And we just have no idea how much money we're actually spending eating out. Because there's just something about the act of eating out. I don't know. It's like you get ready, you go to a restaurant, somebody serves you, you have hopefully good food. You're usually around a friend or a family member, so you have some good conversation and maybe you have a beverage or two, and it just feels really good to eat out. That's definitely my sweet spot and so many other people's sweet spots, right? But maybe you choose to, I don't know, maybe you set some boundary around your eating out that still feels comfortable to you, but isn't quite so impulsive. So we're looking for things in our variable expenses, things we can ditch and things we can just spend better on. Also, I use my credit card points all of the time. I use them to buy eating out gift cards. So, if there's a restaurant on there, I'll just grab a gift card with my points and then I can use that so I don't feel so guilty eating out. I also use them for Amazon points and things like that. and we buy a lot of stuff on Amazon. I really would like to stop doing that, but it's so hard because it's so easy. So at least I feel better if I'm using my points. I don't know why. Just, I guess, psychologically, I feel a bit better. And then, you know, then we've worked on the stuff we have to pay. We worked on the extra stuff. And then when you find the savings, this is the key to move it towards a goal, maybe investing or paying off debt or saving for a trip or even just creating a monthly fun fund. We have one of these and it's great. A certain amount of money every month goes into this fun fund and then we get to use it however we want. And we don't, you know, there's no judgment involved. So if we want to spend it in some really frivolous way, we do it. Sometimes we end up giving some money to a cause that we really feel passionate about at that time. It could be used for anything. Or sometimes we decide like, hey, we just want to use our fun fund for another meal eating out. You know, whatever it might be, right? I'm always trying to get more meals eating out in like the smartest way possible. So sometimes we do that. But the key is that to get more savings, we have to direct this extra money we found automatically to these places. So we don't even have that decision moment. And that's the place where our thoughts and feelings and like all of the inner process and emotions around money, that's when that really comes up. And it can start to be a barricade to us being able to save and being able to reach our money goals. There are lots of different high yield savings accounts out there. There are places like Ally Bank, which is a really great one where you can set up different savings accounts. So you can literally title your savings accounts to match your goals. So then individually you can see how much money is going into those accounts and how they're growing. And it just does a lot psychologically to be able to just log in and see that money growing because you feel like I'm doing it. I am saving money. Like I am mastering this process. And even if some months it goes a little askew, that's okay. Again, we're not aiming for perfection. We're going to aim for like 80%, maybe even 70%. Because I feel like when it comes to money, because the emotion part is so messy, you have to give yourself room to kind of work with things. And then we got to go back to your present and future spending. So taking some time to think about, you know, do I need this now? We had a guest on the show. She talked about creating a money wish list of items that you want to purchase so you can actually plan for those in the future. I love that because we do that for holidays. We've got like, these are the things I want people to buy me. Why not create a money wish list for yourself? Put down how much it costs. Put down, I don't know, when you want to be able to purchase that, but just create a wish list. And all of these little tricks help take that sort of impulse spending moment. They don't remove it. But what I found is that it often gives me a pause moment for me to think about, okay, I know I'm about to spend money a little frivolously, but am I okay with it? Or am I sacrificing something else that's really important to me? Like, can I just pause and take that just one moment? If I can interrupt that thought cycle, that feeling cycle, I would say like 8 out of 10 times I decide, you know what? I don't think I actually need that. Or I don't need as much of that as I thought that I needed. And this is the process of being mindful and intentional with your money. So, Brett, to come back to your question, you're not doing anything wrong. You are not, right? It's just we need to set you up for success in the best way possible. And instead of focusing on how much money you should have saved, because you can read those articles and all those podcasts and different little clips, social media clips where people talk about at this age, you should have saved this amount of money. Well, there are so many other factors involved in it. I don't want you to pay attention to that because I think it's ridiculous. It's leaving out so many things. And what it's doing is trying to trap you in the emotional response of money and trying to get you in a place of scarcity where you don't feel like you're ever going to reach that point. So rather than focusing on a specific amount, I want you just to focus on the inner work that needs to happen with money, with spending. And then that will then turn into the outer work, right? Creating a better plan for your money and saying, am I spending my money really mindfully the way I want to? At least 70 to 80% of the time. Those two things are going to help you ramp up your savings in, I think, a relatively short amount of time. So give it a try, Brett. Let me know. If you have gotten an Ask Sean a question, there is a link in the show notes. You can go right there. I'm happy to leave you anonymous as well, but send me your money question. Let me help you work through it. As always, if you enjoyed this show, please share it with someone that you think also might really resonate with this, and just keep passing along. It's how we continue to grow the show and how we can keep it going for many years to come. There is a link to everything I talked about in the show notes, and a big thank you to our sponsors who make this show possible. I'll see you back here in a few days for a brand new episode.